Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loright. Coming up, we're going to hear Florida This Week from this past Friday night. And it's a show that originally airs on the PBS station WEDU-TV. And as we listen back to the program and the issues that are being raised, we hope that you'll comment by sending an email into dj@wmnf.org. Also, a little bit later on, I'm going to bring up that controversy involving the Publix family, the supermarket chain, and one of its family members who funded the lion's share of that protest that led to the riot and insurrection at the Capitol on January 6th. We'll talk about that, the Publix family connection to the insurrection at the Capitol. But first, we're going to hear Florida This Week, and remember to comment at this place, dj@wmnf.org. Coming up next, problems remain across the state with vaccine distribution, and there's a rift now between the governor and Washington over the vaccines. The governor proposes a larger-than-expected state budget for the coming year, while legislative committees are moving quickly ahead with what could be major changes in state law and the upcoming battle over impeachment for insurrection at the Capitol. Our guests are Amy Holyfield with the Tampa Bay Times, Matt Dixon with Politico, Jim Warshak, chair of the Hillsborough County Republican Party, and Shelley Reback with the Hillsborough Democrats. Next on Florida This Week. Welcome back. This week, Governor Ron DeSantis proposed a more optimistic than expected state budget for the next fiscal year that avoids laying off scores of employees or dipping into state reserves. As the Tampa Bay Times reported, his proposed $96.6 billion budget is $4.3 billion higher than last year, a surprising increase despite the historic job losses and business closures from the coronavirus pandemic. The possible increase in the size and scope of state government was due to an infusion of billions of federal dollars into the state's coffers for education, health care, vaccinations, and testing. The state is also having better than expected sales tax revenue. Under the governor's proposal, there would be no tuition increases at colleges and universities. $700 million would still remain in the budget, though, for building three controversial toll roads across the state.
And we're going to start with the state budget and the legislature. Amy Holyfield is the senior deputy editor for news at the Tampa Bay Times. And Amy, thanks for joining us again on Florida This Week.
Absolutely, Rob. Happy to be here.
Thanks for coming on. So the governor seems pretty optimistic that the state will have the necessary revenue. He won't have to dip into reserves and he won't have to lay off anybody. This is a pretty optimistic budget, I think it's fair to say. How's it being received in Tallahassee?
I think it's pretty much a surprise, I would say. We've been talking for months about what terrible shape the state, the country, the world is in because of the pandemic. And here we have the governor at the end of January trotting out it with good news that sales tax revenues are up, that we had a really good December, a really good January, and hey, it's not going to be so bad. I find it to be a complete surprise. I can't imagine that few didn't, that he's, you know, putting the numbers together differently. He's got a lot of priorities and seems to say it'll work. This is obviously just his idea. The legislature still has to work through it, but I find it very surprising that he's got such an optimistic view. And I mean, for the benefit of Floridians, we can only hope that's true.
And the toll roads are in there. The at the public hearings around the state, they were not very popular. The governor is keeping money in there for toll roads.
Yeah, that's we've been going on a couple years with this issue of putting out money for toll roads that a bunch of people have said that we don't need, that environmentalists have spoken up and said we'll get in the way. And yet it's still a thing. There's been hearings about this. You can tell the money in the budget is still for studying the project. It's not for actually necessarily getting it underway. But that'll be another topic of discussion. The other thing in the budget I found really interesting was that the governor proposes to spend $1 billion on climate change in the next 4 years in terms of grants to local government. Governor DeSantis came in really strong as an environmental governor when he took over, but it's been a little quiet on that front. For him to make that part of his proposal, that's a lot of money to an issue that doesn't have very much statewide leadership. None really, because he took away the resiliency officer that he had installed. So you saw a lot of response from local governments excited at the idea that they could get grants from the state for some really much needed addressing of a giant topic.
And quite a change from the previous governor, too, over the question of, is climate change real?
Definitely. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of play that gets in the legislature as far as becoming reality.
One of the other things that the governor has been proposing, he first proposed this back in September, is to put on added penalties of people that protest for things like blocking roads. And Governor DeSantis made this suggestion at the end of September last year, and it's been changed, modified a little bit, but is it essentially, does that proposal still remain, and what would be the implications for people like the Black Lives Matter protesters or even the Capitol protesters?
It's just what you said. It's adding on extra penalties for people who are involved in a riot. That's one of the problems in the legislation. It doesn't necessarily define, it doesn't define riot, so it's a little... The proposal is a little broad and actually pretty wide sweeping, with some changes that you could argue are completely covered already in the laws and statutes that we have for penalties for this kind of behavior. And certainly some people have. There are some additional things in there, too, to make it, anybody who destroys and takes down a memorial to a historical figure, such as a Confederate statue. That would be a felony, punishable up to 15 years in prison. That's a pretty dramatic thing. You're seeing lots of talk about the impact on First Amendment rights in the state of Florida and mm-hmm. the threat of this bill in that way.
So one other question I want to ask you. There's a proposal to eliminate the Constitution Revision Commission up there in Tallahassee that meets every 10 years or so. Where's that headed?
It looks, it's amazingly, there's almost nothing people agree on in Tallahassee or Washington for that matter. But eliminating the Constitutional Revision Commission is bipartisanly popular. It's been proposed before. It's gotten support before. Maybe this will be the year that they do it. It's not very effective. The things that come out of that are generally really, multi-topic subjects that aren't palatable to anyone. So it seems like a pretty good idea that might get off this year.
Well, Amy Holyfield, thanks for coming on Florida This Week.
Thanks, Rob.
This week, Governor DeSantis traded barbs with the White House over why the state has had so many difficulties with vaccine distribution.
We're getting about 266,000 first doses a week. We clearly have the capacity to do much, much more than that. And so what I've said from the federal government's perspective, I think the only thing they need to be focusing on is increasing the supply of these doses for our seniors.
I will note, because we're data first here, facts first here, they've only distributed about 50% of the vaccines that they have been given in Florida. So clearly they have a good deal of the vaccine. That supply will need to continue to increase as they are able to effectively reach people across the state.
So Matt Dixon is a senior reporter at Politico Florida and has been covering the state's vaccination rollout. And Matt, welcome back to Florida This Week. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
So there's a lot of finger pointing. A lot of people are wondering why, when they try to sign up for an appointment for the vaccine, the websites crash or they can't get an appointment soon because that day's numbers have already filled up. What's your take on whether or not, does Florida have enough vaccines, and is the federal government doing what it should to supply us with enough vaccines?
Well, you kind of hit the nail on the head there as far as finger pointing being the theme of the week. And this has sort of been a theme change from Governor DeSantis. He's a noted Trump supporter, and he got along very well with the federal government and the White House for a long time. But this vaccine rollout has really marked his first fight with President Biden. And basically what he said there is there's 266,000 first dose vaccines. And as I'm sure most of your viewers know, you need two of them. And the federal government has increased a little bit. By next week, the last number I had seen, the state is going to be getting just over 300,000 first vaccinations. So whether that's enough or not is kind of a subjective or moving target. Governor DeSantis says the number could double. The federal government is sending more first doses starting next week. But there has been, as you talked about, there's been a lot more demand than there has been supply getting to these vaccination sites. And it's hard to get an appointment, and folks are struggling that across the state. I don't think there's any regional pocket that isn't seeing some impact there.
There's been some pushback, too, because in many counties, Publix grocery stores have been given the exclusive right to distribute the vaccine, to be the place to get vaccinated. And there's been some pushback on that. Talk about the controversy.
It was part of Governor DeSantis' push to move things, vaccine distribution, I guess, in more county, at the county level. It was hospitals to start with. Hospitals were getting the initial flow of vaccinations. And now it's going to CVS, Walgreens, and most notably, it's gotten a lot of attention, Publix, the grocery store giant. So the pushback has been to a degree from Democrats who have said, or even lawmakers who represent rural areas of the state that don't have Publix. Just today, there have been some communicating saying, hey, we have thousands of residents, constituents, voters, Florida residents who are, you know, 30, 40 minutes away from the nearest Publix. Is this really the best way to handle our vaccine infrastructure and how to boost it? So that's kind of, and then there was the woman who leads the Florida Hospital Association, the big statewide trade group that represents state hospitals, a week or so ago had talked about how Publix and some of the private sector vaccine locations like CVS and Walgreens getting in the game has hurt supply going to hospitals. So there's also that issue they're trying to balance with you know, do we send this to a healthcare setting like a hospital, or do we use it in Walgreens, CVS, Publix, which the governor has sort of said that's more in communities and might be easier to get to.
So, Matt, you also covered the proposal by the governor for the new budget that begins July 1st. And the governor, is, as you put it, has a pretty rosy view of the next year's budget. How important is federal money to the governor's rosy picture for next year's budget?
Yeah, the federal ballgame is sort of the federal money is the ballgame right now. The Florida's budget, for as the governor would like to see it, be $96 billion. Next year, that's about $4 billion in this year's budget. And you would think in a pandemic when the state is looking for revenue, that might not be the case. But the federal government and coronavirus stimulus money has really bolstered things. There's a ton of federal money going to the Medicaid system, which has gotten many more enrollees because as the unemployment rate spiked during 2020, a lot of folks became eligible for that program. There's also a lot of federal money for the state education system as they try to figure out how to best fund that. In a year where we're going into where state officials don't even really know where the enrollment numbers are going to be because so many folks have been doing virtual learning. So there's that whole element as well. We're going to be entering a year where enrollment numbers are themselves, just how many kids are going to school, is going to be tough to pin down.
Matt Dixon, thanks for coming on Florida This Week. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. Thanks, guys.
The breach of the U.S. Capitol by an angry mob of President Trump's supporters on January 6th led to the U.S. House vote to impeach Donald Trump for a second time. Rioters invaded and desecrated the Capitol, killing a police officer in the process. The charge against the president was incitement to insurrection. When asked about it last week, Senator Marco Rubio said this.
What do you think the rule should be about the length of the trial and whether or not to allow witnesses to be called?
Well, first of all, I think the trial is stupid. I think it's counterproductive. We already have a flaming fire in this country, and it's like taking a bunch of gasoline and pouring it on top of the fire.
Joining us now is Jim Warshak, chair of the Hillsborough County Republican Party. He's a retired U.S. Air Force colonel and has more than 30 years of experience in intelligence. And Jim, welcome back to Florida This Week. Great to see you.
Great to see you, too.
So my first question is, should President Trump be held accountable for the insurrection at the Capitol?
By all means, not at all. I mean, the comments that he made about marching to the Capitol peacefully and patriotically had nothing to do with inciting anything. And if you look at the timeline of how events transpired, much of what transpired was already in the process before most of the Trump supporters got down to the Capitol. There's ample evidence to indicate that there were people who came in, be it from Antifa and other anarchist groups, to incite that and to perhaps draw some supporters in so that they could be blamed for it. But by all means, no.
Did the president use the words march peacefully? Didn't he say that you've got to fight for your country? I mean, he used fighting words in his speech to that crowd.
Well, there was no direct order to go to the Capitol and conduct violence. When you say fight, you know, we fight for rights, we fight for whatever, doesn't necessarily mean physical violence, and he in no way incited physical violence.
And what do you make of those folks who, once they got to the Capitol, said to the people on camera that we're here because President Trump told us to come?
Well, because President Trump said march to the Capitol peacefully and patriotically, but they didn't go to necessarily incite violence. That had already transpired. When you look at the timeline of events from the time the president finished his speech to the, and, you know, there are even indications that these folks were who were there to purposely incite violence were already in the works and were prepared to do that.
You mentioned Antifa. I've looked at the arrests so far on the Justice Department website. I haven't seen any alleged members of Antifa on that list. Where are you getting your information?
From eyewitnesses, people who were there, who talked to members of Antifa. Just because their names aren't on the list doesn't mean they weren't there. Perhaps they weren't arrested or charged or apprehended by authorities. The indications that they were there is there in video and other record.
Generally speaking, I mean, the reason why this protest happened in part was that these folks thought the election was stolen. Based on your membership in Hillsborough County, what percent of the Hillsborough Republican Party, at least of the people that you've talked with, believe that the election was stolen?
Pretty much all of them in my party. We've had ample discussion on it. We've had meetings on it. We've asked for people's opinions, and everyone who is a member of the Hillsborough County Republican Party all believe that it was stolen, it was not handled correctly, and that perhaps more will come out on it.
And that's got to mean that in those counties where there were Republican election supervisors and in those states where there have been Republican secretaries of state and those judges who were appointed by Republicans, that you don't trust any of them, that they're part of, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but do you think that they're part of a conspiracy to steal the election?
I wouldn't say a conspiracy, but based on my discussions with the state party and surrounding counties, everybody I spoke to and have dealt with seemed to believe that there was unauthorized activity gone on. There was fraudulent activity in a number of places. Now, county by county, at our last Republican Party state meeting, which was a couple weeks ago, I recommended if there's nothing to hide, we should be doing a full recount in every single county in the country and every single state in the country. And we need to find out where the shortcomings are and where the opportunities to conduct fraudulent activity or cheat or what have you, be reviewed and looked at. I think when you have a situation that has created such animosity and anger by people, that this needs to be looked at.
Jim, I wish we had more time. I had a whole lot more questions for you, but thank you for coming on Florida This Week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rob.
Rochelle Reback is a retired criminal defense and civil rights attorney and a Democrat. She previously served on the board of directors of the ACLU of Florida. Shelley, welcome back to Florida This Week.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Let's start with impeachment. We just had Jim Warshak, the chair of the Hillsborough Republican Party, on, and he and Marco Rubio say that having a trial for impeachment for insurrection against President Trump or former President Trump is a waste of time. It's stupid, and it's pouring gasoline on a divided country. What do you think about the impeachment trial?
Well, I think it has to go forward. I mean, it is the constitutionally appropriate remedy for when a president engages in conduct that is a detriment to democracy, that is treasonous, that is seditious. And if we don't go through with this kind of accountability, we're just inviting sedition as a political tactic to be renewed again and again and again every time we have an electoral cycle. And I don't see how the country can sustain that. I mean, we have to take this action so that we can avoid this in the future. We are marching down the road to fascism, and unless we take that exit ramp now, we're going to be in very dangerous waters, I think.
How much evidence do you think is out there that shows that President Trump stirred up this crowd and they were acting at his bequest?
Well, there's two things. One is the video that most people have seen themselves and can judge for themselves about his incitement. But the other thing is the statements of the rioters, of the treasonous, seditionists themselves, who all say, I was there because he asked me to be there. I was there because he told me to be there. I think that that's evidence that is of critical importance in the impeachment.
And let's say that the Senate doesn't vote to convict him, what message does that send to the country?
Well, that's the most dangerous situation of all. I mean, he is out there. He has a very strong base still. And unless we take this action to hold people accountable for the damage that they are doing to our democracy and to our democratic processes, then we will be forced to face this again. And the next autocratic leader, the next fascist that tries to obtain power is going to be smarter, is going to be stronger, is going to be better than the one that we've just had.
When I talked with Chairman Warshak in the last segment, he said that none of his members in Hillsborough County believe the election was fair. They think it was stolen, and he wants a nationwide recount of the election. How do you convince people that don't believe the election was fair? How do you convince them that it was fair?
Well, I mean, these are people who are living in a world in which they have been gaslighted. This started well before Trump even won his election in 2016, when he began to say that the elections were rigged and things weren't going to be fair. I think he truly believed he wasn't going to win, and then he did. And then he continues to say that the election is going to be rigged all through his first term, and now here we are, and it is the big lie that they have adopted as a political flag to fly. And we know it's not true. Every investigation, state investigation and federal investigation, has established that it's not true, that the election was fair, free, and legitimate. But yet people want to hang on to this because it gives them a sense of belonging. It gives them a cause greater than themselves. And part of the problem with that is that we're still in the midst of this pandemic, and people are living their lives more and more online. So these kinds of conspiracy theories are reinforced daily in an online atmosphere. And one of the things that we can do is, hopefully, the Biden administration will do big things that improve people's lives. So they will see that that the Democratic Party is the party of doing things that improve their lives, not just feed them lines and feed them lies. And so that's what we're hoping for. And that's why I hope that this stimulus package, this COVID relief package, is going to pass one way or another as quickly as possible. People are going to be receiving the aid that they need to get through this pandemic. And they'll begin to see that we are the party of productivity. We are the party that cares about their daily lives.
Well, Charlie Reback, thanks for coming on Florida This Week. Good to see you as usual. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, that was Florida This Week from this past Friday night on WEDU, the PBS station in Tampa. My guests were Charlie Reback, a Democrat and attorney who also is a show host here at WMNF. Jim Warshak is chair of the Hillsborough County Republican Party. Matt Dixon is a state reporter for Politico.com. And Amy Hollyfield is the managing editor at the Tampa Bay Times, one of the top people at the Tampa Bay Times. If you want to comment about anything you've heard here so far, you can email the studio or you can call us at 813-239-9663. You know, in just a moment, I'd like to begin talking about the Publix controversy that broke over the weekend, in which a member of the Publix family donated to the protest that led to the insurrection at the Capitol. And we'll bring that up in just a moment. Let me read some of the emails that have come in. A lot of people want to comment about this program, Florida This Week. Suzanne writes, so Marco Rubio thinks the second impeachment of Trump is stupid. I think little Marco is stupid, writes Suzanne. She says that Jim Warshak, in his denial of Trump inciting the insurrection at the Capitol and putting the blame on Antifa, is such a lie, proven by the FBI. I had to fast forward my DVR and wipe his memory and face out of my mind. That's Suzanne's thoughts. Tommy writes this regarding the insurrection at the Capitol. Isn't the U.S. Capitol the embassy to America in America? How come Republicans won't give the same scrutiny to the six Americans that died there because of the attack on January 6th, the same scrutiny they did when four Americans died in the embassy attack on Benghazi in 2012? That's Tommy in St. Pete. And then Martin writes, wow, is this the best the Hillsborough County Republicans can do? He was either looking at his laptop or had his eyes closed during the entire interview, not very confident in the what Marty writes as BS he was doling out. Betty writes this, when did Trump say to march peacefully to those protesters on January 6th? Some emails are using harsh language, so I'm not going to read them. Sid in Tampa writes, with the Hillsborough County Republican chairman, you mentioned his background was in military intelligence. And Sid goes on to say, no wonder our country is in the mess it's in now, writes Sid in Tampa. Jeff writes, this Republican who spoke might have a case in that there might not have been specific words from Trump telling his supporters to enter the Capitol. But I don't think he made a reasonable case to prove that Antifa is responsible for the insurrection, writes Jeff. And then I can't tell what this guy's real name is. He's got four different names. I'm just going to call him Jim the Air Force guy. Trump incited an insurrection, and we the people demand justice. Regarding Rubio, I will do everything I can to get him voted out of office along with Scott and Gates. They're a blight on Florida, writes the Air Force guy. And then Kevin writes this, after listening to Jim the Republican, it's painfully obvious that his party is becoming the party of Marjorie Greene. They're undermining democracy with their lack of forthrightness and blatant selfishness, writes Kevin. All right. Those are some of the emails that came in during the airing of Florida This Week. I want to bring up the Publix controversy that broke over the weekend. First reported by the Wall Street Journal, then picked up by several other newspapers, including the Tampa Bay Times. And I'm going to read some of the Times coverage here from their story that appeared in the paper in print yesterday. This is by Times reporter Natalie Weber. It says, Publix heiress paid for Trump rally preceding Capitol riots, Wall Street Journal reports. Publix heiress Julia Jenkins Fancelli provided the lion's share of funding for the Washington Ellipse rally preceding the January 6th Capitol insurrection, the Wall Street Journal reported on Saturday. It's only the latest in a series of major contributions to conservative causes made by Publix heirs or the popular supermarket chain itself. Fanchelli is a part-time Lakeland resident. She reached out to far-right talk show host and conspiracy theorist Alex Jones about helping fund a January 6th event and ultimately contributed $300,000 to the rally through a former fundraising representative for the Trump 2020 campaign. The money helped pay for the majority of the $500,000 rally where former President Donald Trump spoke and incited attendees to march on the Capitol preceding the riots, the Journal found. Fanchelli did not respond to the newspaper's multiple requests for comment. Fanchelli is 71 years old. She's the daughter of Publix founder George W. Jenkins, who died in 1996. According to the Miami New Times, Fanchelli and her two children contributed to federal maximum amount of money to Trump's reelection campaign in 2019, contributing around $171,000 to Trump victory. The Wall Street Journal reported she gave more than $980,000 to an account for both the Republican Party and Trump's campaign in the 2020 election cycle. Fanchelli isn't the only Publix heir to be active in GOP fundraising. Carol Barnett Jenkins, George Jenkins' daughter, and Fanchelli's older sister made a $10,000 donation to former Georgia Senator David Perdue's 2020 campaign, and then another $100,000 to a PAC that financed the runoff campaigns for Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, both also of Georgia, according to CL Tampa. Both lost on January 5th to Democrats John Ossoff and Reverend Raphael Warnock, causing Republicans to lose control of the U.S. Senate. In 2016, she also contributed $800,000 to a conservative campaign pushing to prevent medical marijuana from becoming legal. Campaign contributions from Publix itself, not just its heirs, became a polarizing issue during Florida's 2018 elections. The grocery superstore and its heirs contributed more money to Adam Putnam's gubernatorial campaign bid than any other candidate since at least 1995, and likely for the entirety of the company's history. Publix, the heirs to the company's founder and its current and former leaders, gave Putnam $670,000 in a three-year span. But gun violence survivors and activists were outraged that Publix had thrown its support behind Putnam in the wake of the deadly shooting at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. Putnam declared himself a proud NRA sellout in 2017. Parkland students, led by David Hogg, encouraged a boycott of Publix and activists staged die-ins at its stores. In its damage control, Publix responded by halting all contributions indefinitely and internally told employees it was reviewing its political giving policies. Well after the outcry had died down, Putnam had lost to Ron DeSantis, Publix resumed its political contributions in 2019. In the 2020 election cycle, it gave at least $2,000 to Florida Senator Rick Scott, who later voted against the certification of the presidential election results. Publix also contributed $50,000 to DeSantis' political committee after the governor had urged lawmakers in other states to overturn the popular vote. Forbes ranks the Jenkins family as one of the richest in America. As of 2020, it had a net worth of $8.8 billion, according to Forbes. When asked about the contribution to the January 6th rally, a Publix spokesperson said Fanchelli is not an employee of Publix supermarkets and is neither involved in our business operations, nor does she represent the company in any way. We cannot comment on Mrs. Fanchelli's actions. So I'm just reading that article from the Tampa Bay Times. All right, so just moving over to one other article, and then we're going to open up the phone lines and get your take on Publix and its connection to these conservative causes. Another website, thefloridaphoenix.com, and its writer Diane Rado published this today or overnight. She writes, longtime grocery shoppers and other critics on Twitter are responding to boycott Publix, saying they're ditching Publix following a Wall Street Journal report about who largely funded the rally January 6th prior to the riot at the U.S. Capitol. At least five people died. And Rado's article goes on to say that some comments on Twitter were, wish I knew that before I shopped at Publix last week, won't be going there anymore. Another person wrote, I will never set foot in a Publix again. Another person wrote on Twitter, I've been a loyal Publix shopper for years, but I went to Trader Joe's today instead, and I ain't looking back. Another person writes, I was an avid Publix shopper, no more. And then on the Florida Phoenix website, Diane goes on to write, meanwhile, other people on Twitter mentioned Governor Ron DeSantis's initiative with Publix for administering vaccinations, and media outlets have questioned the $100,000 in public donations to Governor DeSantis's political committee. The Orlando Sentinel newspaper reports that state records show that Publix cut the last of four $25,000 checks to DeSantis' campaign on December 31st, 5 days later, DeSantis announced the state's exclusive partnership with Publix to distribute the vaccine. DeSantis has denied that there was any tit for tat. All right, so I'm just curious what your thoughts are about the news that the Publix heiress paid for most of that Trump rally on January 6th, and that as you dig deeper, you find out that the Publix Corporation and other members of the Publix family have contributed heavily to conservative causes. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Joshua in Bradenton. Joshua, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Thank you, Rob. Rob, seriously, I have a question for you because as much as what has happened, I'm not sure, but maybe you'll be able to answer that question. The people that you put on, the guy, Marco Rubio, and the so-called military guy who blatantly is denying, you know, an election that went well, and they all accept where they won, and they wouldn't accept where the other party, the Democrats, won. I'm not sure if putting them on the air and you asking those questions are doing any justice to this misinformation that has been, you know, clamping down on this country.
All right. So you think I'm contributing to the misinformation. I think that's a fair criticism. And if that's the way you feel, thank you. Thank you for making the criticism. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Joshua. I do think it's important that we have a debate in the media, and how to have that debate, I think all of us journalists struggle with. It is important. Jim Warshuk is an American. Shelley Reback's an American. How do we have that debate? There may be better ways to do it. I'm not saying that program is perfect. I would never, ever say that what I do on that program is perfect. And if you've got better ideas, if you've got a better way to approach the topics, I'm happy to hear them. Let's go to Mike and Brandon. Mike, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Nah, you're fine, my friend. You're fine. you provide a great format and a great venue for good discussion. I noticed as I was listening to that conversation with the Hillsborough Republican representative, he was doing a mental gymnastics. I don't know if you noticed it as he's trying to justify the action. I mean, he was just, you know, he's trying to say widespread voter fraud, which of course we know there isn't. The problem is that conversation, that idea is thrown out there where, in fact, we know that there is, every election has voter fraud, every election, but not widespread fraud enough to overturn a presidential election. And that's a distinguishment. And he's trying to say, well, you know, we need to, you know, you need to check every county and every state and all this stuff. That's nonsense. And we know that.
Mike, it is. But, you know, I think a fair idea would be, say, okay, if you guys want a recheck of the election, you guys pay for it. So the Republican Party and all the Republicans that want this recheck, it would cost hundreds of millions of dollars to recheck the results. We're still going to end up with the same results, but let them pay for it. How about that?
Well, you're correct, because look what happened in Georgia. What'd they do? Four, five, or somewhere between three and five, and what? You were talking about a few hundred, if that? I mean, come on. It's nonsense. As far as the public air, you remember when I grew up in South Florida, in the 80s, you know, Publix wasn't open on Sunday. So I'm thinking that
their family might be a family of faith, and you know how they want to get themselves involved, you know, in other people's lives, you know, whether it's a person's right, you know, for abortions, all that other stuff. So it didn't surprise me. It didn't surprise me the least bit that she is contributing money towards this foolish cause. But you know what? She has the right. It's her money. She can do as she wants. But unfortunately, there's the repercussion is what it's going to do for the store. And, you know, Walmart must be loving this.
And Mike, are you going to end up shopping? Do you shop at Publix, and are you going to end up shopping less at Publix as a result of the controversy?
I just came from Publix. No, I'm still going to shop at Publix. To me, because I see what it is. I'm not going to punish a chain over one individual. You know, the stores are clean, the product is good. I have my feelings, my political feelings, but I also understand at the end of the day, don't overblow it. You know, in other words, don't make it overblown. Once again, they have the right to use their money as they choose.
But okay. All right. Well,
Mike, blowback, so be it.
All right, Mike, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Take care, my friend.
All right,
bye-bye.
You too. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Dave in Sarasota. Dave, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. Thanks for the show.
Sure.
There's another good reason to vote out Republicans, but anyways, I wanted to comment on the Brandy's amendment to the raising the minimum wage, and he doesn't want to raise it for ex-felons and other people. I would just say that hopefully the voters will vote any Republican that voted for that amendment. I didn't know they could change a constitutional amendment.
And they've been messing with constitutional amendments for 20 or
forever.
30 years. Yeah, forever.
Right.
Yeah. Just like they messed with the ex-felons voting amendment.
Yeah, right.
All right.
I hope the voters do that.
Thanks, Dave. And we're going to talk more about Jeff Brandis and his attempt to limit the minimum wage in the state of Florida. That is going to turn into, I think, a really important issue that everybody should be talking about. Let's go to Liz in Spring Hill. Liz, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Good morning, Rob. I'm going to have a comment about the Publix thing. It's no secret. We know Publix has been giving to Republicans for years, but this kind of does, you know, cross the line. And I'm glad that the information is getting out there. What I find ironic is that if you work for Publix, they allow an employee stock program, and they give employees a piece of the pie. And what I've heard from people who have worked there, that you can amass a pretty good retirement working for Publix. Doesn't that sound something like a socialist kind of program?
It sounds like what Richard Wolff talks about every week.
I mean, it's just like the you know, what's the motive here then? What's their motive?
I think the difference is, and it's an important one, when Richard Wolff talks about employee ownership and a cooperative model, he also talks about putting workers in the management position so that the managers, when they're discussing the future of the company, always know what the workers are thinking and what the problems are that they're facing on the front line, because you've got representatives of workers on the board. In this case, at Publix, that doesn't happen. So you don't have workers on the board of directors. But you do have an employee stock ownership plan, which is partially good. I don't think they have voting rights, though. So they can't help set their wages or anything like that. They can't help set their health care. They can't help set any sort of a 401k if they've got it. So I think what Richard Wolff thinks, he envisions more democracy in the workplace, including all those things. I mean, having workers have a say in health care and pensions and work assignments. And anyway, that's the difference.
Well, ever since we've made corporations have a voice, that such as corporations are people too, and they're allowed to give these inordinate amount of money, they have to be accountable and publicly accountable for this. And, you know, I think you do a great job, Rob, but you were really soft on your guest today, Fred Harvey. You were too soft on him about the treatment. You were too soft on the Republican chairman from Hillsborough County. I mean, you just
parroted everything that they're saying. And
well, I didn't parrot anything, Liz. I mean, let's just be clear for a second. Hold on. Let me just be clear for a second. Every time Jim said something like Antifa was at the Capitol, I would ask him what his proof is. Or when he said Antifa was there, I said, look, I looked at the arrest records. There were no Antifa people arrested. But I didn't want to get into a position, and you see it happen over and over again on TV, where the host argues with somebody and you never get anywhere. So I figured, well, let's let Jim have his say and then let's let Shelley have her say. So go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, but go ahead.
No, I was going to say you were parroting. I said he is just parroting Republican, you know, talking points, because everything he said was, this was a discussion in a meeting. This was a discussion in a meeting. And supposedly people that were there, he didn't offer any proof of this, and it's alarming that the entire Republican Party of Hillsborough County thinks this way. I'd like to hear some members of that party call you and, you know, possibly say that they're not part of that.
Okay, well, if they call me, I'll put them on. Liz, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Liz. And this is 88.5 FM, where we have about 30 emails I haven't read yet. And I know a lot of people want to comment about Publix. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to John in St. Pete. Hey, John, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. I want to say that I have boycotted Publix for years, or avoided. And I want to say why. Publix refused to give the farm workers, the Immokalee Farm Workers Association, a penny a pound for tomatoes. McDonald's did it. Even Walmart did it. They refused. I was active with the farm workers, and, you know, Publix puts on those fuzzy Hallmark Channel Norman Rockwell ads. One of the actors in that ad was also a man who kept tabs on the farm workers. How do I know that? Because I was at one of their protests outside Publix supporting them, the farm workers. He took my picture. So Publix has this Norman Rockwell image when actually they're Orwell.
Are you saying that they have a private police force that monitors protests? Or is that what you're saying?
I saw him out there photographing me along with other security people.
And how are you so sure that it was the guy in the ad?
Because I saw the ad and then I saw him. And they had reported, the farm workers had reported it on their website. And then there it was, that this man had done this. This is the thing. Publix can do this because it sounds so incredible. But they have not given the farm workers a penny a pound. They supported Jeb Bush. I was a teacher for many years. And Jeb Bush, a small government, air quotes, Republican, came into public schools and started telling me and every teacher in Florida how to teach. So I avoid Publix. I don't boycott them. My church was feeding people in a parking lot. There was a Publix three blocks away. If we ran out of ice, I went to that Publix. But for me, it's a discipline. It's reminding me of how Publix, not a white, college-educated, privileged guy like me, but how they treat the farm workers. I avoid Publix. I go to Winn-Dixie instead. And I think that's important. Not just this, but they have, and you thank you for talking about all the Republicans and the right-wing causes they've supported. I think it's important for each of us to say, I'm not going to support them, I'm going to avoid them, and then that becomes something that you do to remember the true nature of Publix and the true nature of money and politics in Florida.
All right, John, thanks a lot. Thanks for your comments.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for the show.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Mark in Brandon writes, I'm proud of Shelley and a fan of her show. Completely amazed that she and the military man can have such different opinions, writes Mark in Brandon. And Rick writes, can't believe that the Hillsborough County Republican leader said that Antifa, about that Antifa, that's a flat-out lie. I've been a Republican all my life, and the party has completely lost its way. Rubio needs to be voted out next year. The GOP has gone insane, writes Richard, who's in the 813 area code. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Tony in Gulfport. Tony, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hi. I just make a short comment about Publix. I mean, I didn't know anything about them donating to anyone at any particular time. I don't go to Publix because, generally speaking, they're too expensive. In regards to, say, Winn-Dixie or Walmart. So, but now that I know this, the few times that I do go, and it's so few I can't count on one hand, I won't go. Because sometimes they have a couple things on sale that might look interesting. Nah, I won't go. I'm not going to boycott. I just, like the other gentleman, I'm not going to go, but for my own reasons. They usually are just a little bit more expensive. As far as what was the actual subject for today's call? Because I only came in a half of it.
Well, we've been talking about a whole variety of things. I don't want to fill up your head. We were talking about Publix. We were talking about the impeachment trial. We were talking about a lot of stuff. Let's go to Kiki in Sarasota. Kiki, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hi, I would like to say thank you for the show because I'm new in town and I did not know this about Publix. I did not know about how they treat the farm workers. I'm appalled that they paid for that reinsurgence, whatever it was, the riot, and caused death. And to me, the only reason to support people like Trump is racism. And they're on their way out. They're a dying breed. They're going to try to burn everything out down before they go, and they might be successful. But I am not going to support Publix. So
yeah, and just to be clear, it was a Publix heir. She gets some of the profits every year, so it wasn't a decision by management. Management does support conservative causes, but in this case, they didn't support this conservative cause. But it was a decision by an heir, but she also reaps the reward of the tremendous profits at Publix.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all the same to me, and I thank you for clarifying that. It doesn't really change anything for me about Publix because I think they're in the same vein. Anyway, thanks for listening.
Thank you, Kiki, and welcome to the area. I'm glad you're here. Let's go to Beverly in Largo. Beverly, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Yeah, hi, Rob. Yeah, I have been shopping at Publix for years and years, and I haven't liked their involvement with contributions in politics. I have never liked it, but I feel like this did cross the line. Yeah, she has every right to donate to who she wants to, but we have the right to shop where we want to shop too. And I always went every Monday morning. This morning I went to Winn-Dixie, and I'm going to be giving my business to other retailers.
All right, Beverly, thanks a lot.
Thank
you. And there's a lot of choices out there. There's, and I'm not going to name them, but you know that there are the two giant grocery store chains, and there's a bunch of other ones, too. I should say that if you want to write to Publix management, over on the WMNF.org website, we have a whole list of the names of the managers of the company and also the phone numbers to contact the company and also email addresses. So if for any reason you want to contact Publix, go to WMNF.org, and that information is over there. DeMarco writes that Trump came out and said exactly what should happen, which is what he wanted to happen. He joked about using machine guns on illegal immigrants. He said it wouldn't be a shame if Bikers for Trump or the police or the U.S. military got tough on his opponents. The GOP brand is now fascism. That's what DeMarco says. And Tony writes, I'm almost 80 with no success gaining a vaccine appointment in Pinellas County after 8 tries on the terrible website. I'm furious that Publix made a special deal with Governor DeSantis for private enterprise in distributing the vaccine to seniors in largely Republican strongholds, writes Tony. And let's go back to the phones, and we'll go to, let's go to Herb, who's driving. Herb, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Oh, I just got a question about DeSantis. I hear that they're passing a bill, and I heard it a little earlier today when you were talking to somebody about if you protest, and he's writing a bill that it would be all right for somebody to drive a car and hit somebody.
Yeah, and I'll just tell you quickly, the bill is coming up before the state legislature. It's actively being discussed right now in Tallahassee in committee. And among the things, if you're a motorist and you're surrounded by protesters who are in the streets and you feel threatened by those protesters and you run them over, you would not face charges. Now, that's the way the bill was written originally. We'll see if it actually passes. It could, we've done programs about it, including, we had the ACLU director on this program a few months ago in September when the bill first was suggested by the governor's people. And so we'll see where it goes. We will pay close attention to it right here on 88.5 FM, I promise. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Thanks for listening. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks to Frank Knox, our phone producer today. Stay tuned. Sean Canaan has a really great program coming up next.